What a wonderful dramatic pause that was. Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. It was supposed to only be 90 seconds, but apparently our computer problems are not yet solved. Welcome back to the show. It's hour number two here. Now officially Saturday, April 21st, 2007, midnight here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org, or maybe you're listening at our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Welcome to all of you. Be aware of our phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. And let's go to the phones. Davis in North Carolina, welcome to the show. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, there you are. Welcome.
Is this Dr. Whalen?
I've been accused on occasion, but it's mostly because of my my snooty attitude and stuff like that.
What am I going to do with you?
I don't know.
We're talking about it at Virginia Tech. May have been mental.
Yes.
He had the capacity to plan, and he carried this out just like a military operation using the same components. First, Frank, came the planning phase.
Mm-hmm.
He bought the guns. He bought the ammo, separate place. He made his documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he called in some false bomb scares, and he watched the police, and he clocked them, and he timed them, and he looked, and he watched, and he waited. Then came the operational phase where he carried it out.
You're right.
Now, people are going to be cussing the cops up there forever, but they did. They operated under standard operating procedures, a crime scene. They secured it and surrounded the first building. Like, what does a killer do after you kill somebody? They normally put distance between them and the crime. They haul butt, okay? He didn't. He hauled butt to the post office, mailed his stuff to NBC. Then he went to the engineering building, chained the doors, and started shooting folks.
Mm.
That was the operational phase. So we had planning, reconnaissance, and operations, just like a military operation.
Yes. And while I don't disagree, I do think that basically the accounts that we have here in front of me seem to indicate that he went back to his dorm in the span of that 2 hours. Now, obviously, they saw the guy. Okay, they knew who he was. They had suspected him for the bomb threats. Why was his dorm not searched right away? You know what I mean? That's the main thing. And I understand what you're saying, but he did not live off campus. He didn't live in an apartment. He didn't own his own home where you'd have to get search warrants and all that stuff. Some university official should have said, go check his dorm first. You know what I mean? Obviously, the entire campus police force local police, cops, sheriff, they weren't all tied up at the crime scene. They could have sent somebody over to his dorm, and they probably would have caught him.
Well, you got to figure it's 26,000 people on the campus.
Yes.
Calls for at least 15 officers, minimum,
mm-hmm.
and a chief, and then administrative staff. So they got a fairly good-sized force, fairly good,
mm-hmm.
probably pretty professional. They followed their training. And I'm not sure if they caught on that it was him. I think they just completely missed it.
Hmm. Well, it's possible. It's certainly possible. I don't know. I think that, obviously hindsight is always 20/20, but I just have to, and maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's arrogance, I suppose, but that would have been the first thing I had done. I mean, this is a guy who had a falling out with a girl that he was infatuated with. So, the third time this situation had come up with a girl who felt uncomfortable about a certain situation. So people saw, they knew it was going on. There was a disturbance. The resident assistant went down there to ask the guy to leave or something, and he shot them both and he walked out. So somebody heard the screaming probably and told the RA to go down there and sort it out. There were things going on. Somebody saw him. Somebody knew who he was. They should have had that locked down. They should have asked questions and looked for a suspect first and then gone and immediately tried to find that suspect. Now, they were assuming the person had left campus because it was a domestic dispute. The guy lived on campus. He went to school on campus. There's no reason to assume that he left.
But most killers will run from the scene. They're going to put distance between them and the scene.
If they're logical, but again, I mean... this guy was brutally thorough, but I wouldn't say it was necessarily logical.
Well, I don't know how we would class this.
Mm-hmm.
What, what I'm convinced of, three elements, and he carried them out.
Well, I think you're spot on, brother, and there's a lot of different factors that come up in the course of this these news segments. And again, I don't rule out, and maybe it's the conspiracy theorist in me, but I don't rule out the mind control programs. There's links to pedophilia. Apparently, he had yelled something about that as well. He certainly had written about it as well. So stay with us. Davis and the rest of you will be back in three.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. We're taking your calls. 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide. 1-800-313-9443. Davis in North Carolina is with us. And Davis, Thomas and I were discussing during the break how much we appreciate your insight into all this, because obviously as a veteran, you understand these things, and you probably looked at this whole thing and said, you know, this took a lot of planning. This was not a... This is not an impulsive situation with the shooting at Virginia Tech.
not a crime of passion.
Certainly not.
Well thought out. Had three phases, like I say, a definite, defined phases, without any question. And where the police are concerned, they have a plan. They're taught certain things in school. That's ingrained in them. Mm-hmm. The problem with plans is when it hits the fan, those plans aren't any good anymore. You got to be able to tap dance and think and move and adapt, overcome, and do things like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to think like that.
Yes.
Or you have problems. You have to be able to think like a chess player. That's how he thought, like a chess player.
Yeah.
Move one, move two, move three. That's how he did this. And he pulled it off because it was well planned.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that went after him were thinking inside the box.
Yeah.
Because they're taught that way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How many SWAT teams have you seen on TV enter bad situations as they filmed it? Okay? They always do it the same way. Sooner or later, somebody's going to run up against somebody that's a good thinker. It's going to be over for them.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I don't ever want to see that happen.
No.
But thinking outside the box, it's the same drill.
Mm.
What happens is the communications is located in one area, always in approximate, almost identical from scene to scene. You have the stacks that come in, hit the doors, and they do it the same way. They're thinking inside the box.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to move, think. You've got to be able to adapt. You've got to be able to overcome, and you've got to be able to do it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't, good people hurt. And just what happened at Virginia Tech, they were thinking inside the box. Crime scene number one, I'm going to secure this crime scene. And they did.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, you know, when you look at the location of this, though, I mean, here you've got your campus police. You've got your sheriff's department, you've got your city police, you've got your state police, and probably the feds as well. Now, granted, I don't think the feds were on scene, but we know that at least the local police were, in addition to the campus security, because you don't have a homicide on your and let the rent-a-cop campus police sort it out. That's not, you know, that's way out of their jurisdiction for the most part. They don't have a lot of experience with that, although at this university, they have. Now, there was an incident. Obviously, three bomb threats the week before the shooting, but earlier at the beginning of the semester, they had a prison inmate had escaped, killed one person, escaped, and then he fled like toward the campus and killed somebody virtually right there on campus grounds. They had locked down the whole place.
That was a security guard or a police officer of some type got killed.
Yes.
Beginning of the year.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it wasn't even necessary. It wasn't quite on the university campus. It was no university officials involved with that. And they'd lock down the whole university. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility for them to be thorough.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just think they thought, we've got the crime scene secured.
Yeah.
And has fled the scene. And that thinking inside the box will get you killed.
That's an excellent point. And I agree. I see what you're saying. I thought at first you were defending their actions. But I see what you're saying is explaining why their actions had this sort of response, this result.
They did what they were taught.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. You got to be able to fake. You got to be able to tap dance, sort of like you on the radio. Something happens to one of your guests 30 minutes before you go on the air. What are you going to do?
Battle for 4 hours. Count on calls like yours.
You better be able to move.
Yeah.
Same scenario. Don't think inside the box. Forget about the plan. When the first shot's fired, the plan's no good anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a guideline.
Yeah.
But they were inside the box, but they were doing what they were trained to do, followed their instructions.
Now, I don't know exactly anything about, well, we don't really know much about this kid or sort of what he was into or any of that stuff. I know a lot of people who are fairly well-versed in strategy and whatnot, but this seems really, really thorough. I mean, this does seem like almost like a mind control sort of programming going on here, and we've got a whole segment of stories we probably won't even get to tonight about these types of programs. You know, there's obviously MKUltra, MKDelta, Project Naomi. There's a Monarch Project. So many different things like that. I mean, these are officially documented, provable, factual things.
Right.
And you know, so it's not beyond the realm of possibility. We also know that they can do various things with mind control. There are many, many, many patents filed that talk about sort of adjusting people's thought patterns and you know, compelling them to do things.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, there was the murder of, I think, a Swedish prime minister, probably 2002 or 2003. I think her name was Anna Lindh. The guy just he just walked up to her and just stabbed her in the stomach like 8 times. And when they asked him why he did it, he's like, I just wanted that voice in my head to stop telling me to kill her. I figured that was the best way to do it.
Right. So there was no planning stage, no
reason. No, he just walked up and did it.
Well, he whacked him.
Yeah.
Okay, now, how did this guy learn, his young, tender age, these kind of tactics? I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all.
No.
Things through and I look at them and I say, well, maybe. And it's possible. Mm-hmm. I see the possibilities. But how does this young guy at his age, with no record of any kind of training, come up with a military type operation?
Mm-hmm.
The planning phase again, the reconnaissance phase and the operational phase, and he did it letter perfect. Who taught him? How'd he learn that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't read Sun Tzu.
No.
Claim that. I've read Sun Tzu, everything he ever wrote. He was a great general, Chinese mm-hmm. general, but this kid didn't learn that. Who taught him
mm-hmm.
to think this way?
A good point.
Well, this is not typical, and I'm not kicking anybody now.
Mm-hmm.
This is not typical civilian-type thinking. This mm-hmm. is military-type thinking.
Yes.
And that's what he did, and he pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing that, well, obviously, I mean, when you go into a situation, let me pick your brain on this. With one 9mm handgun and one 22 handgun, it does seem a little bit surprising that this person, and I mean, obviously having the doors locked, with the chain and the padlock. I mean, that was pretty darn smart. But at the same time, the idea, I don't think anybody would go into a situation thinking that they're sufficiently armed to take on a whole building full of students with only two things like that.
I wouldn't choose either one of them. But
no.
We'll work. Now, what he had going for him were high-capacity magazines that load from the bottom of the gun, okay, mm-hmm. in the magazine well. Okay, let's say that he had, there were 15-round capacity magazines.
Okay.
If he had four of those, that was 60 rounds.
Yeah.
With a 9, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the 9s, Model 17, or the Model 17 Glock will carry 17 rounds out, as memory serves.
Mm-hmm.
So if he had four of those, what did he have? I figured the 22 was a backup.
Yeah.
In case he had a problem.
That's what it would seem like, yeah.
Yeah, 22 will kill you a graveyard dead, mm-hmm. and you'll die. Not as quick, probably, unless it's a well-aimed, controlled shot.
Yes.
And it doesn't make any difference. You can do it with a 17-caliber pellet rifle.
Mm-hmm.
But he planned. Yeah. He thought this thing out. He had some high-cap magazines. I don't know what he knew about ammo, but if he chose the right ammo, it would have been devastating.
Yeah, you're right about that, too.
The reason that police officers don't carry them anymore is they're not particularly effective against people who are loaded up with pharmaceuticals.
Oh, yeah.
Just
absolutely.
Keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody my size, I'm not tall, but I'm 200 pounds. 21 feet, if you shot me with 9, I'd probably still make it to you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, what do you think about this, him blowing his, basically blowing his face off? A nine millimeter could do that?
Yes, sir. He put it right under his chin, pulled trigger.
Yeah, but not a 22, right?
No. That was a contact shot.
Okay.
He blew the blast into his face along with the bullet. All the force of that bullet, the burnt gases and everything, he took it. It was a contact shot. I think his thinking was, it'll take him longer to identify me. Maybe myself will get to NBC before they can ID me.
Jeez.
Women never shoot herself in the face. Only men do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. A woman will never do that. You know, they just don't do it. Men do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid was obviously mental. The only thing I've heard about him is that when he was in grammar school, in high school, because of his accent and a low-pitched voice, that they gave him hell
mm-hmm.
his whole life. That's the only thing I've heard
mm-hmm.
that makes me think that maybe there's a reason for this sickness. I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist or, mm-hmm. an analyst. I'm thinking out of the box, sort of thinking, just thinking, how did this happen?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have kids?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, if you had your son or your daughter come home after school and tell you that they were being picked on, and obviously you'd have to probably have some degree of communication with your kids in order to understand that, in order to get that out of them, you obviously wouldn't tell them to go take a gun to school and shoot somebody, but obviously, you know, you realize that it's an important situation that needs to be addressed.
Right.
I mean, they have to learn to stand up for themselves. They have to learn to have some self-respect. If you respect yourself, then you can respect other people. And if you respect yourself enough not to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be dying for you know, stupid reasons, let alone taking people with you, I mean, come on.
It's bad enough you got to die for a real good reason.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Really is. I have two sons, and I've been very fortunate with both of those sons. They're successful. Their mother had more to do with this than I did because I was never home. I was always in somebody else's country doing something.
Yeah.
But they've come out really well, and they're good thinkers, they're hard workers, and they're achievers. I owe it all to their mother, really. I said, you know, I was not there. When I was there, I tried to push as much quality into the little time I had with them as I possibly could.
Yeah.
In other words, when they were 6 years old and 4 years old, I had them deep in the mountains in North Carolina camping. You know, I mm-hmm. let them watch a lot of TV, had a lot of outdoor activities.
That's good.
This is a robin, that's a skunk, that's an oak tree. Things like that.
Yeah.
That's how I approached it. It's the only way I knew how.
Mm-hmm.
When you get kids, you don't get a manual with them. You know, no manual right. with them. You buy a new rifle, you got a manual. You get a kid, there's no manual. You get a stepkid, there's definitely no manual.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
That happens. So you're walking on eggshells all the time there.
That's right.
So anyway, that's really all I had to say about this thing at VT. The last thing I did tell you is I finally found Hollywood carrot juice.
Oh, good.
206 a can. Is that reasonable?
Better than it is here in Northwest Arkansas. We're at close to 250, somewhere around 245, 247.
They didn't have a lot of it, but I bought it all.
Good for you.
How much am I supposed to drink?
the cancer diet per se is a can a day for 8 days.
Right.
Do not drink more than one can a day.
Right.
That would be bad.
You'd
have severe back pain in your kidneys, lower back. Well, actually, middle lower back area on both sides, a lot of pain.
Oh, God,
you take vitamin B6, that'll wipe that out. But basically, one can a day for 8 days would make a dramatic health difference. Now, you can go longer. It depends. And it, you know, you have to know what your body is telling you and understand that. But for the most part, eight cans a day. When I first...
Eight cans a day.
No, I'm sorry. 8 cans for 8 days.
Okay.
Or one can a day for 8 days.
I like the taste of it.
You really? It's nasty.
It tastes pretty good. How about you?
I hate it.
You're
it's
kidding.
It's nasty. No. I mean, it's not repulsive, but it's harsh.
Yeah. But I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah? Well, I don't know. I guess, you know, I like carrots, but drinking 12 ounces of carrot juice is the equivalent of eating 2 pounds of carrots, and that's a lot of carrots.
Oh, okay. I see what... What a problem may come in.
Right. No, but I have tested that before with strep throat. The wife had to go to the hospital. She had strep throat so bad. It was really bad. And tried to help her out and everything. And I said, I need to experiment with this. So, you know, I drank out of her glass. I licked her fork. I gave her kisses. And basically, I got strep throat. And I did the Colonel Joe's diet thing to see if it would chase it away. I figured it took her to the, you know, she had to go to the hospital. It was so severe. I just tried it with carrot juice, which, it was a long story as to why she couldn't do the carrot juice at the time. But suffice it to say, she didn't have that option available to her, and we didn't know all the things we know now. But at the time, I did a can every other day, so 3 cans in 6 days, and it was completely gone. And I've always had strep throat. I had a doctor tell me one time that I have so much scar tissue on my vocal cords, it's amazing I can even talk.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, and here I go into a profession that requires me to talk.
Well, you're loud and clear. I mean, you modulate well.
Well, you know, thank you.
You're 5x5 on this end.
Thank you.
I wanted you to know I found it. Now I got to remember how to use it. So
yes.
But I don't have cancer as far as I know.
Right.
What else is it going to do for me?
It's going to increase your body temperature. Okay, what I've discovered with the carrot juice, what this does is it will bring sort of any illnesses. You know, sometimes people can feel like they're getting a touch of the cold, and then it'll last. That feeling will last for like a week or two. And then they get knocked down by it, and that lasts a week or two, and then you got a week or two to get past it. Basically, the carrot juice says, you know, bring it, and it does. It anything that's potentially going to affect you, it gets brought to the surface and then is defeated. And it does that, of course, by way of raising your body temperature. Most people think that fevers are bad. Oh, a kid's got a fever, take a fever reducer. No, the fever's good. It indicates that there's a little battle going on, and you want to help the situation along. You don't want to stop the battle altogether.
Right.
So, I remember one time I was out with the wife. We were doing some running around, and I just, you know, that feeling where your skin's just kind of irritated, like clothes just feel icky on up against your skin. I don't know how to describe it.
Right.
So I knew that there was a potential illness in the works there. So when we got home, I drank a can of carrot juice. I climbed in the bathtub with the energy cleaner, and in the span of 20 minutes, I went from chills to fever to chills to fever, chills, fever, and then fine.
Well,
20 minutes.
I never get colds. I've never had the flu.
Mm, good.
I don't get sick. I don't even feel bad. Other than kidney stones, mm-hmm. I've never had any problems. Lord knows that's enough.
Mm,
let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you want to speak a foreign language, get those.
You know? Well,
God.
You'll notice your temperature will go up. You'll notice your skin will look really healthy. You'll notice more energy. And if you do have any illnesses, it'll probably come to the surface within the first, you know, I don't know, an hour or two drinking the first can, and then you'll be fine, basically. But, yeah, you go through a cycle of 8 days. It'll clean out your blood completely of anything. If you have any high blood pressure, it should take care of that.
Okay, I've got high blood pressure.
It should take care of that, yeah.
Okay.
It should take care of that. Just stay on it and monitor it.
I got to keep drinking it, right?
What's that?
I got to keep drinking it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, well, I'll give you an example. Somebody I know did the carrot juice diet for about 10 days. And their blood pressure went from 180 over something down to about 115.
Right.
And that was after 10 days of just carrot juice, nothing else.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's a dramatic improvement. So.
It's a miracle drug. It's a miracle. It's a fountain of youth.
It is. Burning, it absolutely is.
But the burning, what I was hoping you were going to say, you hadn't come across yet.
What's
one
that?
Thing I'm looking for.
What's that?
Is it going to grow hair?
No, it doesn't grow hair, I'm sorry to say. But you never know. I mean, you might be the first.
Okay, listen, thanks for joining the program.
Hey, Davis, God bless you, brother. I appreciate the call as always, and thanks for bringing that perspective to this whole story, because I think it was very much needed. And there you have it, folks. I think certainly a Marine can speak on this very, very well, very adaptable by nature. Stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial
financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, taking your calls, talking about this VT shooting, and like I said, hundreds of stories here in front of me. We'll see what we can get into. Bert in Ohio, welcome to the show.
Hello, Frank. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. A little bit under the weather, though. This weather around here is just crazy.
Yeah, you guys have been taking a beating up there lately.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. Actually, I'm home tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, concerning these shootings, I mean, there's conspiracy theory and there's conspiratorial facts.
Okay.
And I'm looking at it in a very broad way. There was just a definite volatile, I don't even know if I'm using the right words here, a deep-rooted hatred when he's referring to Christianity in his tapes and Christians, and then he was like, you know, he was very, you know, using the Lord's name in vain and all kinds of other stuff. And then I look at, you know, other things like, you know, the New Age movement, and then I'm looking at, you know, the instantaneous polls that are, you know, totally sold out media throws up on the net and on TV, and I'm sorry, it just fits together too well. I know it was a tragedy. We, you know, people lost their lives, and, you know, and I understand that some people are going way out there in their thoughts, but, you know, everybody's looking at, you know, hey, you know, did our government have something to do with it? I mean, you know, this guy was a nationalist, right? I mean, his family came from overseas, and I'm looking at, you know, very well could have not, I mean, he had some kind of training. There's no doubt about this.
Yes.
And there's nothing indicating that the training that he received was here. So there's something going on there. And, I mean, it may go beyond our own borders. I mean, that's what I'm looking at. I mean, I'm trying to get totally out of the box and look at this thing. And
yeah.
And there's just too many, you know, signposts saying, hey, you know, what about this option? What about that? Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking at it overall. You know, I mean, I've known a lot of Korean people in my life. I've trained with them in martial arts and everything mm-hmm. else. And he doesn't even necessarily fit that persona either from what I've been reading.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what's at hand here, but I mean, I'm kind of looking beyond our own borders. I mean, and yeah, sure. Are there things at work here that'll take advantage of this scenario and anything else that may come up? Yeah, absolutely. I believe mm-hmm. that as well. But I think it's bigger than just, you know, than just some of that, like, an in-home thing, you know?
Yes, yes.
You know, can you see that too or no?
I'm always cognizant of it. Here's the thing. I mean, they've basically said that they determined he was mentally unwell at some level. Now, that indicates to me that he shouldn't have been able to buy a gun in the first place with the, with the checks and all that stuff. But at the same time, he was allowed to do so, but that's really beside the point. What I'm saying is that his parents and whatnot, his grandparents and all these things, have basically said that he was autistic. Now, I don't know if he's autistic or not, and I don't know all the different parameters of being autistic, but, you know, maybe one, you know, I know that they have that sort of tendency to be really adept at certain things. Maybe he was adept at strategy. I don't know. It could be anything. But at the same time, he doesn't manifest characteristics of autism per se that I've seen, but definitely characteristics of perhaps abuse or something. And like I said, one of his violent, quote-unquote violent screenplays that he'd written or his plays was, you know, talked about pedophilia from a parent and something like that. So I don't know if that's the case. He does sound like a textbook abuse case victim for just from things that I've seen and things I've heard and know. But I don't know. It does indicate there's a lot of things to this that we still don't understand. There's a lot of things to this that I think still don't make sense with the way that they've been reported on. And that's why, you know, when we look at these, we try to pick apart some of the inconsistencies.
There's a ton of inconsistencies with the whole thing, my friend. You know, textbook abuse, and textbook psychological problems, man, but, like, your kid is labeled that just for being a kid anymore.
That's true.
You can't really go with that either, you mm-hmm. know? These playwrights and all that, yeah, some pretty twisted stuff. But that could be just, like, basically a drug abuse thing. Who knows? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think the main thing about it, and for those who've never really looked into it, and I know, Bert, you probably heard, you know, stories and heard shows about this stuff, but the Monarch programming, basically, it's called... Okay, for those who don't know, it's called Monarch because it is symbolic of the human pelvis bones resembling a monarch butterfly. And what they do is they use sexual abuse on children. They perpetrate it on children in order to fracture their personality so they can basically implant programming that can be triggered by a variety of different things. So I think that you know, given the fact that pedophilia was mentioned in one of these stories, and I've heard accounts that he was, you know, yelling something about this, given the fact that his behavior and his, you know, characteristics tend to resonate more with an abuse victim more so than somebody who's autistic or certainly somebody who's just depressed, it makes me wonder. And then here you've also got a situation where this guy is obviously not handling the male-female interactions very well. That could also be a sign of abuse. But what I'm getting at here is that this Monarch programming has been utilized for a while, and it's very, very, very sick, despicable, grotesque, and it's possible that this guy was programmed in just such a fashion. Now, was he programmed by a foreign government, our government? It's hard to say. I mean, you know, if they take the guns out of America, everybody, all of the governments themselves win. You know, it's us, the people, who lose.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm looking at, because, like, mm-hmm. you know, you have this total convergence of these other countries, like, okay, man, you know, like, strip their guns away because, like, they're all freaking out and killing each other now. You people need some control in La America, you know?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, almost an immediate response without any, you know, afterthought, forethought, or nothing. And that's just why I'm looking a little bit outside the borders here, because, I mean, it's full knowledge. It's pretty much well known that, you know, you have a lot of foreign interests in our country right now. I mean, this is like, mm-hmm. you know, the golden apple, and everybody's trying to, you know, get a bite of it.
That's right.
And so, I mean, I'm looking at it in that way, and I think I'm closer in that respect than in any other, just from the whole picture and stepping back and looking at it. You know, was he part of Monarch? Sure, he could have been. But are there people here in this country now, you know, corporate America, you know, that's taking advantage of this, you know, to try to, you know, push their agenda? And yeah, man, I believe there's an agenda that's coming out of this as well. But I'm looking outside the border, and I think the answer is, I've got a gut feeling the answers are going to be there more so than here. You know, I just kind of want to bring that up to the table and see what
I think. That's a good point. No, I think everything needs to be explored. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. September 11th was virtually unexpected, I guess, in the minds of most people, most average everyday people. Those who are creative folks, those who have the ability to think like that, to sort of daydream and be creative. And I'm not saying daydream about killing thousands of people. I'm just saying, quite simply, being able to come up with stuff like that. What was one of the first things that our government did after September 11th? I'm sure you remember, Bert. They contacted Hollywood directors and screenwriters to come up with different sort of scenarios of ways that we could be attacked by terrorists, which on the surface sounds brilliant because, honestly, that's what they do for a living. They're creative people. That's what they come up with. Somebody told me that Tom Clancy had a book where airplanes were used as weapons. I've never read it, so I don't know. But what I'm getting at here is that you'd look at that on the surface and say, wow, what a great idea. But you know, below the surface, what we've also seen is the mass infiltration of not just the media, as in news reporting outlets, but media in terms of television and movies and different things like that. There was a guy, I believe in, I don't remember what it was, North Carolina, I want to say, who said that we should now have government agents reviewing any and all scripts for anything that might be deemed offensive. You know, so stuff like that. So they're integrating themselves into the media outlets quite a bit. And that's why you see movies coming out, such as the Jessica Lynch story being filmed by, I don't even remember who filmed it, but somebody with prominence. I don't remember, maybe Michael Bay or something. These things are happening. So we have seen the integration of government and entertainment as well. In fact, Iran was saying that the movie 300 was put out specifically at this time to garner a lot of anti-Iran feelings, which I disagree with. I don't think that you could compare the King of Sparta with George Bush by any means on any level. So I do think that there is some collusion there. But you're right. It is important to think like that. And I think that if the government is turning to people who can think differently for answers and for ideas, then we have to also read stories the same way you read them and start thinking about other things. You know, is there something more to this? And a lot of people, you know, could say, well, that's a little conspiracy-minded, isn't it? Maybe. But it's I think it's the right way to play it because you never know. You never know. So why not? How many times have we been lied to? You know what I mean? Here's an example. If you have, let's say you have two dogs, Bert, and dog number one craps on the carpet every single day. So then you come home and there's crap on the carpet. Who do you automatically assume is the guilty party? Well, it's the same thing with our government. They've lied to us repeatedly throughout many administrations, many different presidencies, many different forms of representation on every level. They've always kept stuff from us, quote unquote, probably for our own good, or because they just don't want us to know, or because that they're all in on it together. The point is we know that they're liars. So when we hear various news stories and we hear various speeches and statements being given, we know that they've lied to us constantly and consistently in the past. Why would we accept it as truth? We have to ask these questions.
Absolutely, and also something that you do quite a bit on the show, and I'd like to bring up as well, is that, you know, another aspect of this looking for answers is, okay, what else is going on that has nothing at all to do with Virginia Tech? How about the dollar falling to all-time lows? How about the truck get together on the Beltway?
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up here real soon to protest the Trans-Mexican-American Freeway. Is going to basically put me out of a job as well because of what I do for a living.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I'm seeing it affect my trade. You know, the blue-collar guys that do the driving, the mechanicing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're already taking shots, and we're seeing these Mexican shop style green cards being thrown up, you know, mechanic shops, La Mecanica, whatever, heavy equipment places being thrown up all over the place. Because I'm in the section that I'm in is called the Tri-State Area, and it's a major hub for transportation. And right now, man, you can't even buy a job almost in my field, and that's what basically is the heart of the economy here.
Mm.
And so, I mean, we're already seeing the effects of it. Man, I can only imagine what's going to happen if that thing does go up.
Wow.
So I'm looking at, like, I'm trying to, you know, like Davis said, I'm trying to get out of the box and look at the whole thing. Okay, who's going to benefit from what? Who's, I mean, what all's at play right now? And, you know, just like you said before, okay, like another thing that happened September 11th was, you know, arms sales in this nation went through the roof as well as worldwide. I mean, if you, you know, gun runners, whatever,
mm-hmm.
all that Cold War armament had to go somewhere that's just been sitting there in idle. They had to make some money off it, right? So it's just boom. That was, I mean, it was like 43% ammo shot through the roof. You know, armament totally just went through the roof, whether it was governments buying it or personal people buying it. So, I mean, there's, you know, so everybody's getting paid somehow. There's, and, of course, they'll take every bad situation and manipulate it in a fashion to where they can profit. You know, that's all they're really doing anyway. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just trying to look at the whole thing and then try to put a spiritual perspective in it as well. It's very difficult to do, but, I mean, there's just, I mean, it's going to end up with some crazy, like, you know, H.R. 1022 bill, like,
mm-hmm.
resimplified and then multiplied and even more hardcore than what was in place before. I'm sure that's on the Barbie as well, but...
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to just touch base with you, my friend, and see where you were at on it as far as looking outside the border, man.
Well, I appreciate that, and I welcome the input and the ideas. And I think that there's, you know, these are things that need to be talked about. They need to be explored. They need to be examined in every possible conceivable way. Because quite simply, this, I want to know the truth. Now, whether or not, people want to examine stuff like this and say, well, there's a cover-up here or there's something else to this. I think that's great. We should be asking these questions. I'm not saying we should outright say, this is the truth, and I believe it. This is exactly how it went down. You can believe it, but you know, and as well as I do, that we need to look for evidence. And if there's none there, then we move on and we look for another angle, something like that. When we have the official version of events and the official version of events doesn't make a damn bit of sense, we have to keep looking. Plain and simple. So I applaud you for that.
And thank you very much for giving me the time there, Frank.
Oh, man, anytime.
Weekend, man.
Hey, you too, brother. I appreciate it. And keep us in the loop on as to what's going on with you and your health. And I urge you to look for some Hollywood carrot juice. Give that a shot. Should knock it right out for you.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
All right, man. Have a good one. You know, it's interesting. We talk about the political aspects of all this stuff. Thomas, your mic is open. Let's look at this one. This is from crooksandliars.com, and this came out on Tuesday, so, you know, within a day after the whole shooting. Listen to this. In 1999, as the nation was still coming to grips with the tragedy at Columbine High School, then House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, Republican from Texas, took to the floor to identify what he saw as the real culprit, science classes. Said DeLay, quote, "Our school systems teach the children that they are nothing but glorified apes who are evolutionized out of some primordial soup. Young people learn modern biology, which in turn makes them feel insignificant, which in turn leads to violence," end quote. This was, of course, one of the more loathsome comments made by then by one of Congress's more despicable people, but after yesterday's shooting at Virginia Tech, it was only a matter of time before someone else who shares DeLay's worldview stepped up to assess yesterday's tragedy the same way. Enter Ken Ham, a leading creational activist who leads an outfit called Answers in Genesis. He said, quote, "We live in an era when public high school and colleges have all but banned God from science classes. In these classrooms, students are taught that the whole universe, including plants and animals and humans, arose by natural processes. The more such a philosophy permeates the culture, the more we would expect to see a sense of purposelessness and hopelessness that pervades people's thinking. In fact, the more a culture gap allows the killing of the unborn, the more we will see people treating life in general as cheap," end quote. Ham, it's worth noting, it says, wrote this yesterday. He couldn't even wait 24 hours before connecting the massacre and biology classes. So while I think, first of all, it's obviously I think that's inappropriate timing for something like that. So you see, Because of biology classes. No, it's not. It's ridiculous. But at the same time, I agree that having some sort of faith, that having God in your life does give you a sense of purpose. It does give you something to live for, something to try for, something to believe in, which I think is great. But at the same time, the idea of the religious right extending their control over us in this sort of fashion, that's terrifying to me. And I've said this on the record before. The only thing more scary to me than the absence of God in our society is the mandatory presence of God and his interpretation in our lives as interpreted by judges, law enforcement, politicians, and so on and so forth. Because you can say, we're taking God out of America. You ain't taking him out of my heart, and you're not taking him out of my life. So it doesn't affect me. And you say, well, you're going to be walking around in a godless society. So what? Because I have him. It's fine with me. I can't control the whole world, and am I going to try to? And when you look at these politicians and the integration that they have, and it's a dominionist thing. If you look up dominionist on the internet, you'll see a stunning amount of articles. We've covered quite a few of them. And they talk about how these guys work, and there's a little group, I think they're called the Family, and they have like a little dormitory up there in D.C., and various Democrats and Republicans are invited to stay there, and they have to pay rent, of course, but it's incredibly discounted. And they're big money behind the scenes, though nobody really knows who all is a member of this group. And they meet in cells, okay, like terror cells, but these are called prayer cells. And groups of three or so, and they're the only people that really know much about other people who are in these groups and members of this organization. And they meet and they talk about ways to use God to change the politics and policies of America. It's terrifying. Here's an interesting story, which contextualizes some of that last one as well. AssociatedContent.com, and I found this on the 18th. Says some have accused the Bush administration of being far too cozy with the religious right and the agenda of dominion that they ascribe to. Others have reacted that the accusations are unfounded. The fact that the Bush administration has 150 graduates of Pat Robertson's low-rated and just recently accredited law school might suggest the former. This revelation isn't new to the faithful, and it's even on the Regent University website. It is news to those of us concerned that the Bush administration is in bed with the far right of the religious base. You know, the same 30% that for some unexplainable reason still think Mr. Bush is doing a good job. You know, the group who likely believe that the occupation of Iraq is going great. I suppose if you think that the earth was created in 6 days, or that it is only 6,000 years old, or that two of all of animals on earth once rode in a wooden boat, the Bush presidency being a success isn't such a stretch. So again, unfortunately, guilt by association. He's lumping anyone who has any sort of faith in with the Bush administration. But it is noteworthy that this Pat Robertson created law school has 150 graduates in the Bush administration right now, and it was only recently accredited in 1996, so 11 years ago. Odds are these guys have been out of school for longer than that. It says the school was founded in 1986 as the CBN University Law School. The American Bar Association denied accreditation in 1987. It gave the school provisional accreditation in 1989, and full accreditation by the ABA did not occur until 1996. The fact that 150 graduates of the illustrious Regent Law School being in the Bush administration came to widespread light because of Monica Goodling. The Regent grad of 1999 quit the Justice Department last week, just a few days after she had refused to testify before Congress by pleading the Fifth Amendment. She had virtually no prosecutor experience before landing a job at the top levels of the Justice Department. She served as justice liaison at the White House and was deeply involved with evaluating the nation's federal prosecutors. It is the handling of the firings of several prosecutors which led to the controversy that will most likely cost Alberto Gonzalez his job. Stay with us and we'll finish this.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
One, two, three. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want to? But can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try to fight the feeling because the thought alone is killing me right now.
Welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and this hour, my friends, being brought to you by PrivacyCrisis.com. We had Grant Hall on Monday. He'll be on next Monday as well, this upcoming Monday. Very exciting. So at the website, PrivacyCrisis.com, you can pick up the book in an ebook form or in a hardbound copy. You can also pick it up used at Amazon.com. That's your cheapest option right there. And you can also call Borders Bookstore by phone, have it shipped to you. Just dial 702-433-6222. In this book, you can learn how to live, travel, bank, work, and pretty much do everything you want anonymously. Remove all traces of where you live and how you operate and things like that. And in this day and age, it could not be more pressing. When we left off, we were talking about this story that members of the Bush administration, 150 of them, graduated from Pat Robertson's law college, which is only given accreditation just not too long ago. So it's very, very bizarre. We talked about this gal who refused to testify against Alberto Gonzalez, about the firing of prosecutors who potentially, you know, may have gone after George Bush or somebody in the administration. Anyway, they were all let go. Big, big, big shenanigans going on with Alberto in this time. But anyway, I bring this up for a reason. I'll finish the story. I don't know if I got time, but we'll do our best. The law school at Regent University was once ranked in the lowest tier by U.S. News & World Report's college survey. On its own website's admissions page, Regent states that it seeks to admit, quote, students who are serious about the critical roles they will assume as future counselors, conciliators, defenders of the faith, effective client advocates, and followers of Christ. Later, however, it adds, quote, Regent Law seeks men and women who are dedicated to becoming Christian leaders who will change the world for Christ, end quote. And then the